Well, yes, friends, following those classic favorites of the gospel genre of music, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show. I'd like to remind y'all that we are still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. We can also be heard over CFRC 101.9 FM in the heart of Limestone City of Kingston, Ontario, since 2016. We can also be heard throughout the Greater Toronto Area and as well as Durham County through www.oshawarocks.com. It can also be found anytime by going to our Way Back with Johnny channel on YouTube. With all that mentioned, I would like to share that today, of course, is February 15th, which is also in country music history, Hank Lachlan's birthday, born in 1918 on this day. In honor of Hank Lachlan, who was one of the purest voices in country music history, I'd like to remember his 108th birthday today with a double feature. First, we'll hear an all-time classic called Sweetest Mistake, which I just recently heard for the first time. And then we'll follow that with an all-time favorite by Hank himself called Geisha Girl, which by today's standards may not be appropriate for radio play, but it is one of the Hank Lachlan signature songs and one of his biggest successes as a singer. With that, I would also like to play following this a little clip that is one of the most greatest compliments that I ever got from anybody in my radio career. And that, of course, is by Hank Lachlan's son, Hank Adam Lachlan. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
I've heard it said, mistake I ever made. Sweetest mistake I ever made. You're the sweetest mistake I ever made.
Have you ever heard a love song that you didn't understand? Where you met her in a tea house on the island of Japan? And have you ever traveled over many thousand miles to see a pretty geisha girl dressed in oriental style? They read it in the tea leaves and it's written in the sand. I found love by the heartful in a foreign land. Tell the home folks that I'm happy with someone that's true, I know. I love a pretty geisha girl where the ocean breezes blow. Sunrise from the waters of the sea, and wondered how much beauty in this whole world can there be. My dreams are all worth dreaming, and it makes my life worthwhile to see my pretty geisha girl dressed in oriental style. They read it in the tea leaves, and it's written in the sand. I found love by the heartful in a foreign distant land. Tell the home folks that I'm happy with someone that's true, I know. I love a pretty geisha girl where the ocean breezes blow.
And you, Johnny, you're a prime example of this. Here we are. You're so gracious to reach out, and I was so glad to hear from you. And, you know, you have such a wonderful following, and everything you do for this music, for its artists, and the way that you treat their careers and talk about them. You know, you yourself have done more to honor folks that have come through this particular genre of music than a lot of other folks. And, you know, just things like this are just tremendous, tremendous. I consider it a tremendous accolade to be talking with you about my late father, Hank Lachlan, today. And I want to thank you for doing that, you know. So that's how I feel about it.
Now, friends, I'd like to welcome a very special guest of honor and our co-hostess, Sim Bush the Wonder Husky, to our program this morning with... That mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to a collection of the very special male singers of the Lawrence Welk Show. Now, as mentioned, this will not be all the male voices of the Lawrence Welk Show that appeared on that show over the 70 plus years that it's been on television, but it will highlight some of the great voices. With that, let's begin with the great bass voice of Lawrence Welk's bass singer, Larry Hooper, and his version of The Grandfather's Clock. We'll then follow with Clay Hart and his version of the old Glenn Campbell song called Try a Little Kindness. I'll wrap up with Sim Bush's top favorites here this morning with another legendary man of the Lawrence Welk Show that I wouldn't say close to, but I did know him over the years and also met him at the Grand Theater down here in Kingston many years ago, Dick Dale. And from Dick Dale, it'll be a song called The Roving Gambler. With that, I would also like to thank Sim Bush for her contribution to today's program. And welcome y'all in. Welcome in, friends.
With a grand old favorite song, Grandfather's Clock. One, two. Come in.
My grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny weight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his treasure and pride. But it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man died. In watching its pendulum swing to and fro, many hours had he spent as a boy. And in childhood and manhood, the clock seemed to know when to share both his grief and his joy. For it struck 24 when he entered at the door with a blooming and beautiful bride. But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man dies. My grandfather said that of those he could hire, not a servant so faithful he found. For it wasted no time and had but one desire at the close of each week to be wound. And it stayed in its place, not a frown upon its face, and its hand never hung by its side. But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. 90 years without slumbering, tick tock, it lies second numbering, tick tock, it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died.
Let's hear from our fine country singer, Clay Howard.
Thank you, Lawrence. I'd like to do a great song. It was a big hit for Glenn Campbell, and I'm real pleased to say that I've included it on my new album, Renwood album. So, Neil, if you'll kick it off, let's do it.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. Instead of down, and the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness, yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. You've got to try a little kindness, yes, no, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street.
We take you back to a cafe in New Orleans where we meet a roving gambler in the person of Dick Dale.
Well, I'm a rambler, I'm a gambler, Lady Fortune's my trade. I am a roving gambler, I've gambled all around. Whenever I meet with a deck of cards, I lay my money down. Lay my money down, Lord, lay my money down. Got a pretty little girl in New Orleans, her name is Mary Lou. Though I ain't been to see her in 14 years, she promised she'd be true. Promised she'd be true, Lord, poor old Mary Lou. There's an old maid living in Abilene, her name is Polly Ann. She claims that if she ever gets wedded up, it'll be to a gambling man. And I'm a gambling man, Lord, so long, Polly Ann. I am a roving gambler, I've gambled all around. Whenever I meet with a deck of cards, I lay my money down. Lay my money down, Lord, lay my money down. Well, I never cheated at gambling, cause it makes some people sore. But just in case you got an extra ace and a big long 44. A big long 44, Lord, a red hot 44. Well, preacher says that a gambling man is walking the road of sin. But every time that I start to quit, that's when I start to win. When I start to win, Lord, rake that money in. I am a roving gambler, I've gambled all around. Whenever I meet with a deck of cards, I lay my money down. Lay my money down, Lord, lay my money down. Lord, I lay my money down.
When the Lord made me, he made a simple man.
Howdy, folks. This is the old Blackland farmer, Frankie Miller. And you're listening to Johnny Whitlock. Keep listening to Johnny because he plays country music.
But I owe it all to you in my Blackland farm.
Well, yes, friends, following those classics of the Lawrence Welk Show, I'm once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show, and it's that time in the program to pay tribute to the great Canadian Northern Gems by even greater Canadian Northern legends. With that mentioned, yesterday, as said before, was Valentine's Day 2026. With that mentioned, I'd like to honor some Valentine-inspired songs about love. And with that mentioned, first we'll hear from an all-time classic of the Canadian Northern Gems by Myrna Loy and Buddy Duval. Their all-time classic from 1950s called Are You Mine? We'll then follow with a song called Love Don't Grow on Trees, and that is sung by my late friend Johnny Burke of East Wind fame. And then we'll wrap up with another all-time love song of sorts, and it's going to be our dear friend Miss Carol Baker, the queen of Canadian country music in my opinion, and a song called I've Never Been This Far Before, her cover of the old Conway Twitty song. With that, I'd like to say good morning to each and every one of you listening in, and happy belated Valentine's Day weekend. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
could find love where I please, but things just don't work out that way, 'cause love don't grow on trees. You can't buy love with silver, and it can't be bought with gold. It can't be demanded, and it can't be sold. Down on my bended knees, Lord, I found out the hard way that love don't grow on trees. I know how much I've hurt you, and I know I've hurt myself. Just no one since you've left me, you've been with someone else. My heart and eyes are open, now this fool can finally see that we belong together, and love don't grow on trees. You can't buy love with silver, it can't be demanded, and it can't be sold. So here I am in front of you, down on my bended knees. Lord, I found out the hard way that love don't grow on trees. Lord, I found out the hard way that love don't grow.
I can almost hear the stillness as it yields to the sound of your heart beating.
Bum, bum, bum.
And I can almost hear the echoes of the thoughts that I know you must be thinking.
Bum, bum, bum.
And I can feel your body tremble as you wonder what this moment holds in store.
Bum, bum, bum.
And as you put your arms around me, can you tell I've never been this far before? Well, I don't know what I'm saying as your trembling fingers touch forbidden places.
Bum, bum, bum.
Well, I only know I've waited for so long for this chance that we are taking. 'cause you know I've never been this far before. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to welcome another special member of our morning team to our program. That, of course, is Gunny, our beloved Dachshund, and our shortest member of our program. With that mentioned, she has a great collection of the female legends of the Lawrence Welk Show for y'all today. So let's begin with Lawrence's all-time classic country girl singer, Ava Barber, and her version of the Tennessee Waltz. We'll then follow with another legendary lady, Miss Anna Connie, who is one of my all-time favorites of the Lawrence Welk program. And from her, it's going to be an all-time Spanish favorite called Spanish Harlem. And then we'll wrap up with Gunny's top selection of great Welk ladies today with Gail Farrell and Mary Lou Metzger, and they've got an all-time classic cute little number called Three Little Fishes. With that, I would like to say thank you, Gunny, for your contribution to today's program. And welcome in, friends. Now, here is the dear ladies of the Lawrence Welk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, our country girl, Ava Barber.
Howdy.
I was waltzing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. How much
sure many of you remember Kay Kaiser and his College of Musical Knowledge. It was a big hit on radio and television. Kay's band specialized in novelty numbers like this one with the lovely Gail Farrell and Mary Lou Metzger. Remember?
Fishies and a mama fishy too. Swim, said the mama fishy, swim if you can. And they swam all over the dam. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew. And they fam all over the dam. Stop, said the mama fishy, you will get lost. But the three little fishies didn't want to be bought. Three little fishies went off on a spree, and they swam right out to the sea. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew. And they fam all over the dam. Boop, boop, diddum, dottum, wottum, chew.
Now, friends, I would like to once again welcome a very special guest of honor onto our program today from 2022, and this is an all-time archived interview from Valentine's Day back then. And it's a very special guest of honor onto our program, Miss Kathy Lennon of the famed Lennon Sisters. With that mentioned, I would like to once again share that audio is not the greatest in this interview, but it is an all-time classic, last from the interview past. And I would like to share it with y'all today, and then following this second half of this interview, of this three-part interview, we will hear an all-time classic by Jimmy Durante and the Lennons and Doodle Doo Doo. With that, I would like to welcome y'all, and here once again is our good friend, Miss Kathy Lennon from 2022.
You girls grew up in front of the television camera from 55 to 68. During those regular appearances on the Lawrence Welk Show, would you say it was difficult for you and the others to have a regular childhood?
Well, we were very blessed that Mom and Dad said, we really don't want you to go to Hollywood Professional School. Mm-hmm. Do you want to stay in your same school? And we said, yes, we do, because we started doing the show every week. And they worked around our school schedule. So we would go in on Thursday after school and rehearse with the band. Friday after school, we'd go to the studio and rehearse the set. And Saturday, of course, we were out of school, so we worked all day Saturday. But during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not only did we go to school, but we'd come home and we'd also rehearse on our own and pick a song and learn it. So our schedule was tough, but the most important thing to us was all our brothers and sisters, all our friends that were from grammar school and high school, St. Mark's Grammar School, St. Monica's High School, we got to see and be with all our same friends. So I think we had probably one of the most normal childhoods of any child stars that were on television every single week for 13 years.
Okay.
Because, and people watched us grow up, with, you know, get married, the girls had children, all on the show. So we had, even though a lot of traveling and that was hard on us, we hated leaving Mom, we hated leaving our little brothers and sisters, but we still, our career never defined who we were. That was our job. My girlfriends worked at Walgreens, or they worked, you know, somewhere, and we worked at ABC Studios. We still had the same friends. We didn't do a lot of Hollywood professional parties or anything like that.
Okay.
So maybe we'd have the most normal celebrity childhood of anybody else.
Okay, sure, sure. Now, would you tell us about the 1956 recording of Allegheny Moon? I believe that was one of your first ones.
Yes, we first had a hit that was, I know you belong, tonight you belong to me. Mm-hmm. It's a single. And we did, then they had another single, and it was a Mickey Mouse Mambo and
yes.
I to You. And because of that, Mr. West decided to put out an album, our very first album.
Okay.
And on that, Allegheny Moon. And it was so pretty. It was one of our favorite songs to sing. So Allegheny Moon and those songs were our first recordings. And to go into a recording studio was a little different. You know, we hadn't done that. We recorded on a tape recorder in our home a couple of times for fun things, but to be actually in a studio, and we had wonderful backup singers that would sing behind us, which so many times people would do that, and they were adult studio singers, one being Norma Zimmer, and we didn't even know her then, but she was a studio singer.
Yes.
So she came on show. But we had people like, they were called the Mellow Men, and they did all of Disney's. It was like Thurl Ravenscroft, who did the original Tony the Tiger.
Yes, and the Grinch.
And the Grinch. Exactly. And all the Disney rides, every one of them, Pirates of the Caribbean, all that. Anyway, the Mellow Men were behind us, so we'd sing hi to you and hi to me, and they go hi to everybody. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it was like the most exciting thing to have that kind of professional people behind us in the recording studio. And at the time, you know what they did, Johnny, is they didn't tape it.
Okay.
It was recorded live, so we were live with the band, with the other singers. So if one person made a mistake, everybody had to stop.
That's
they
right.
They had to go back and pick it up and tape it and retape it and cut the tape. Yep. They recorded it on a disc, and they would pull this black stuff off of actually as it was recording.
Yeah.
So luckily, the four of us pretty much did the number the same as we always did, so we didn't make a lot of mistakes, and it was a very exciting time for us.
I imagine, yes, especially for how young you girls were. Yes. Now, during the heyday of the Lennon Sisters, would you say it was more difficult part of life as girls growing up? Like, I mean, you had the Lawrence Welk show, and then you had to do touring and recording, and it must have been kind of difficult.
There were times where it was hard. It was hard when we were in high school and we'd have to, you know, miss tests, and then we'd have to come back because we were on the road doing the Perry Como show or something like that, and we'd come back and the nuns we'd have to take our tests alone, you know, or those times were a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I said before, still, even in our high school years and as we got older, we missed our mom, we missed our brothers and sisters. We had to travel a lot, although many times we would take one sibling with us to enjoy Atlantic City or to enjoy New York. And then mom went off and on if she could get a babysitter. Our grandmother, Nana, lived with us, so if Nana was good, then she would come with us sometimes to the Perry Como show.
Oh, yeah.
And, but luckily, our friends, even in high school, were our same friends, and we weren't treated differently. Only when somebody would come, let's say, from Boston in our senior year, and they'd come to us every senior, and they said, "We hear the Lennon Sisters go to school here." And they'd go, "You mean Kathy?"
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Normal.
Yeah.
And that made it special. But yes, I will say, as we got married, as the girls had children, it got harder. You know, we'd take the kids with us, and it got where, you know, you couldn't do everything being celebrity conscious, that there were some things you just, people would follow us on the beach, or they would, you know, if we'd be eating and they'd be staring in the windows, or, you know, and a couple of times like that, it was like, oh my gosh, but it was an honor.
Including, if I may ask, something happened terrible like that in 1969 to your father, if I may ask.
That's what I was going to say. We have had the most loyal, incredible fans. Still have a very big fan club.
Yes.
We have a wonderful website. We have a wonderful Facebook page for Lennon Sisters. All that wonderful times, but there were also the scary times.
Yes.
We did have, I'll just touch on it lightly, but we had a crazy person who he was demented, and he had escaped from an insane asylum. He had thought that he was married to my sister Peggy, who was married at the time and had five children.
Yes.
He thought he was married, and he wanted to be with his wife. He considered it his wife, and he would write all the time, and he ended up threatening our family.
Yes.
And thought that Daddy was in the way and kept her away from him.
I see.
And he stalked our dad and shot and killed him.
I'm sorry, yes.
And Daddy was a teaching golf pro. So he was on a golf course teaching lessons and all.
Okay.
And this man found that out, found him. Eventually the man ended up taking his own life, wrapped in movie magazines.
Yes.
It was
scary.
It changed all of our lives. It changed our lives forever.
Exactly.
Mom was still at home. Our mom was still at home with seven children under 18.
Wow.
And so all of us, you know, of course, came and helped out. The four of us were married at the time, and the girls had about 10, I think, or 9 children among them.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was a very, very, very trying and scary time, and it was horrible. It was one of those very first, like John Lennon, like, you know, the very first stalking of a celebrity.
Yes.
And he felt Daddy was in his way. And it was a trauma that it's very hard to explain. I'll tell you what, and people can read more about it. We wrote an autobiography, and it's called Same Song, Separate Voices, and the four of us wrote every single word. And that, again, you can go on our website and get that. We try and keep an update of what, you know, we've done in our merchandise and our albums and all stuff. But the book is tells all these stories that I think people who are fans would enjoy very much.
Exactly.
And all through the laughter and the tears.
Okay, sure, sure. And I also understand that the Lennons left the Lawrence Welk Show in 1968.
Yes, we did.
What led to that, if I may ask?
Well, actually, we found out that the girls, like I said, had growing families.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a kind of thing where it was just time. We had worked for Mr. Welk. For a long time, but we were in scale, and yet we would do other performances and make more money on, you know, variety shows, whether it was Perry Como or George Burns or, you know, whatever shows we did, Cher or whatever. We would make that, and our state fairs and county fairs on our own, but it was a union scale on the show. And when we realized our families were growing, we had come to Mr. Welk asking for a double scale.
Yes.
Because we had been with him for 10 years. And he did not agree with us and felt that we were asking too much. So
yes.
We decided that we would only do the show then once a month.
Yes,
and
okay.
That compromise. So we did that once a month for a little while, and then our schedules got where we were just doing, we were wanted so many places, and then ABC offered us our own television show.
Yes.
And that's when we left the Lawrence Welk Show. But it was the kind of thing that we knew it was right, and it was time. It was time to make changes. We weren't little girls anymore.
Exactly.
And we had to make things for our family. And we stayed very close to all the Lawrence Welk people. They're still our family. We love them dearly.
Yeah.
And but it was a huge change for us. But it was correct. It was time.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, our great friend, the one in a million, Jimmy Durante.
How are you, girls?
Hi, Jim.
Say, Peggy.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that introduction, one in a million? What's the population?
Oh, a little over 200 million.
Does that mean there's another 199 million Duranis running around?
Figurative.
Oh, figurative.
Yes, Jimmy. It's only a hypothetical assumption.
Figurative? Hypothetical? Just a minute. Hold it. Hold it. You girls didn't use that kind of language when you whipped that accordion player. So don't use it in front of me, see?
Jimmy, when it comes to using the language, you express yourself, oh, just so beautifully, especially in a song. Would you do something for us?
I got a better idea. I'd do something for you, you'd do something for me, and we'll all do it together.
Okay.
I just heard a melody.
A melody.
That is always haunting me.
Keeps haunting me.
Funny little strain running through my brain. It's as sweet as it can be. Please play for me that sweet melody from Doodly-Doo.
Doodly-Doo.
I like the rest, but what I like best is Doodly-Doo.
Doodly-Doo.
Simplest thing, there's nothing much to it. Don't have to sing Doodly-Doo. I love it so, wherever I go, I doodly, doodly, do.
Please play that sweet melody, doodly, doodly.
Yeah.
The one I like best is doodly, doodly.
Yeah, doodly, do.
There's nothing to it.
Sing it.
Just.
Sweet melody.
Now, friends, following that interview with our good friend Kathy Lennon and the famed Lennon Sisters, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show, and it's that time in the program before we send us into the third and final hour here this morning to pay tribute to the Christmas programs of the Lawrence Welk Show. With that mentioned, growing up, I had a lot of admiration for this dancing style of none other than Arthur Duncan, the legendary tap dancer of the Lawrence Welk Show. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to an all-time classic taken off the Christmas program of the Lawrence Welk Show, which were always a favorite in our homes growing up. And it's going to be an all-time classic, The March of the Wooden Soldier. With that, we'll be back following this to play us into the third and final hour. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Well, very beautiful. Thank you, Guy and Roman. Here's a young man who's always a hit at our Christmas party. Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur Duncan.
Thank you.
And, well, yes, friends, following that tap dancing of Arthur Duncan, of course, we can't see the tap dancing, but we can sure hear it. And with that mentioned, we're going to play us into the third and final hour here this morning with none other than a couple of sacred songs. First of all, it's going to be Guy and Rona once again, and their all-time classic called Footprints in the Sand, which is dedicated in loving memory of my late father, Papa Willoughby, as he was known to many of you listeners out there today. And then we'll play us into the very top of the hour with none other than Norma Zimmer, who was always remembered as the champagne lady of the Lawrence Welk Show. And it's going to be a song going out in loving memory of my late grandmother, Mabel, who used to live in Milk River, Alberta, on the Sweetgrass, Montana border. And she would have celebrated her 89th birthday tomorrow, the 16th of February, but sadly passed away last year around this time. So in memory of Grandma, it's going to be an all-time classic by Norma Zimmer, and In the Garden. With that, I hope y'all stick around for another hour of the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
In the sand.
Last night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the sky flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other to the Lord. And after the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. And I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints.
Prints in the sand.
Now this really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and lowest times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. And I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of suffering, when you could see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you."
Still on the roses and the boys. the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing.